Hello.
My name is Matt.
My name is Abigail.
And this is the Polyglot Progress podcast. Oh my god, that's like painful to say when we're not in person.
It's not even that bad. I just get tripped up because you're talking too and my brain is like...
I can't function.
My brain's just like Polyglot Progress Progress.
Yeah, exactly. So you guys might notice something a little different. We have a little change in setup, which we were thankfully able to afford thanks to our wonderful patrons on Patreon. And we just wanted to bring this up because if you want to see nice changes in quality like this, you can go over there and support us. Any little bit helps. We offer payments on like a monthly basis, and we have a ton of different awards over there. We won't go into it. You can go over there and check it out if you want. We are going to get on with the podcast for this week. But yes, we just wanted to say thank you to our lovely patrons over there. And we have more content like this coming soon.
Other than that, before we begin, I would like to apologize for my background. The first rule of video making is basically have a nice looking background so that way people can focus on you and not the trash in the background. But I moved yesterday, and I moved here yesterday night. Now. Yesterday night, mm-hmm. too, so I didn't even have time to unpack, really. Yep. So this is like where I'm at right now. And this is the best angle I could give you. So, you just excuse that for this episode of the podcast. It will be fixed by the next podcast, hopefully. I'm going to hope for my own sake.
That's a whole week from now.
Other than that, our podcast topic today is going to be on pronunciation. Just kind of in general, how to improve it, what our thoughts on it are. Like, is it one of the most important things? Is it not important at all in language learning? This was also, we received a comment for our 1,000 subscribers special, which kind of encouraged us to make the podcast. About it. So thank you to whoever asked that. I wish I had your name on hand, but I do not.
Me too. But yeah, so pronunciation is a really big topic in language learning. Some people say it doesn't matter as much as long as you're trying to learn the language. That's the most important thing. Other people like me think that pronunciation is very important. I don't know, where do you lie, Abigail, on that scale of, like, how important pronunciation is?
I think I hold myself to significantly higher standards than I hold other people to. I don't care at all if someone has an accent when they're talking to me. Like, the thing is, I know a lot of people are very rude to people in America who have an accent.
This is just,
because it's tied to the whole immigrant thing. It's like, oh, you have an accent, yikes. I'm more so one of those people that's like, they have an accent, that means they speak another language. Like, that's cool.
Yes, exactly.
So, like, I'm more tied to that kind of thing, and I don't care at all if someone has an accent. And if anything, my reaction is going to be like, their voice sounds really cool like that, or like, I wonder what language it is that they speak, or, like, that kind of a deal. But I think for myself, I'd say it's not the most important thing for me. I feel like I'd much rather be able to use the language than be able to pronounce it correctly. And you can even see throughout my Bulgarian videos, there was a jump between my 60 and 90-day videos, I think, where my accent, like, I started off a lot better, and then it just goes down because I didn't have time to... Like, my time was significantly restricted, and so the focus became refreshing vocab and being able to use the language, and I'm glad that I did that, because there's no point in being able to sound perfect, but not say as much.
If you can't say anything.
Yeah, so that's where I stand, is I'd rather be able to get myself to a good level and then focus on it, if that's what I need to do. I don't think it's the most important thing at all, and I think if you don't want to focus on an accent, then you don't need to. Like, I don't think it's really that important. I think, personally, you can have a personal drive to want to sound like the people, but at the same time, I don't think it's necessarily, like, a core aspect of language learning.
Okay, yeah, because, like, the core aspect, I guess I kind of incorporate it more so as a core aspect, but, I mean, we're talking today about pronunciation and less so accents, but they are...
I think they're the same thing, really. If you pronounce a word wrong, chances are it's because...
Because
unless
accent,
you haven't learned any of the pronunciation rules, but most of the time it's you don't pronounce that exactly the way a native speaker would, and chances are it's because your body was not you're not used to making
you're
sounds
not used to
that
forming
you'd
the
need
sounds
to
with your
pronounce
mouth. Yeah.
It. So
like the ayin in Arabic. I remember trying to do that and
I still
cannot figure that out.
So
it's a part of my mouth that I just don't use.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is then people would say, okay, your pronunciation in Arabic is wrong, because that's an ayn. But if you can't, it's something to work on, but I don't think you can't learn the language if you don't have the pronunciation slash accent down perfectly.
And I totally agree that you don't need to have pronunciation and accent down perfectly. And I know there are people who start from day one and they just focus on making the sounds. Now, I imagine in a language like Chinese or Mandarin, Cantonese, or Vietnamese, where tones matter, this is where pronunciation is more critical, because it is directly correlated to speaking and the words that you're making. But in languages more so like German, I have a lot of students who's, I can actually say that now, that's really cool. I have a lot of students who may not have the most perfect accents.
Go get tutored by Matt on iTalki.
Yeah, I tutor now on iTalki. That's pretty cool. money from iTalki basically goes towards me buying teas for myself at Starbucks. So Patreon goes exactly back into this this channel.
Yeah, if you're worried about where our money goes, Patreon comes back into
Patreon.
Here.
Anything in Patreon or like that's going towards Polyglot Progress, the name Polyglot Progress goes right back into this channel. But
however, Matt's personal
me,
funds go straight to buying
me,
matcha
it,
lattes from
it
Starbucks.
It goes to buying matcha lattes at Starbucks.
I like how it's you've got a specific enough drink order that we're both like matcha lattes from Starbucks.
The only thing I get. It's so bad. I literally almost have 300 stars there, and I only get matcha lattes. And I started like this year.
You only discovered a matcha latte in like April. It's May.
Oh my god. Gotta get that gold status, man. So anyway, what on earth was I saying? I was saying that.
Yeah.
My students may not have the best pronunciation, but as long as they have I'm saying like, it's okay that they don't have it because they're beginners. But in some cases, I have students that have been lifetime learners and their accent's still not perfect. Now, I'm not saying my German accent is perfect. I a lot of times have problems saying the word Sprache. I feel like I don't say it right. Ich spreche. I feel like I can't do the Sp in front of those sounds. And because of that, it hinders my speech. But when I'm in like a flowing sentence, I think it's fine. But when someone is like, oh, say the word language in German, I'm like, Sprache. And I feel like it sounds weird. But then I've asked native speakers, and they disagree. They're like, no, it sounds fine. And I'm like, no, but you don't know what's going on in my mouth. I'm like, it feels weird. But yeah, I definitely attribute it to more of a core aspect for me. I think that's only because I want to sound good, and I don't want someone to see me struggling in their language and then default to English with me, because that's happened to me before, and it's so... Richard Simcott talks a lot about language etiquette, and when people do that, when you're in their country, you're speaking their language, I feel like it's kind of rude. When someone's trying to speak your language, and you default to theirs, if you know what I'm saying? Like, if I'm in America and I see an immigrant of any country attempting to speak English, they are trying, and I hear it through their accent, and they're trying, and they're making mistakes, but it's okay because I understand. I feel like it would be offensive to them if I was to identify what language they're speaking in and switch to it, because then that's like, it's playing down to what they're trying to accomplish for themselves.
Yeah, I'd say where I stand on that is like, I definitely think people shouldn't just switch to the language the person is speaking so that they can get practice in, but I do understand when the person is struggling so much that whoever lives in that country like is like, do you speak this language? Like, I think it's more polite to be like, would you prefer to switch into this language? Like, I know the first time I was like speaking French with native speakers, they took us to Canada like 2 months into taking French. Like, it was eighth grade we start French, so in like September we started learning French. They took us in the beginning of February to Quebec, dropped us on the streets, and we're like, speak only French. And so it, in some circumstances, like, people would speak to us, and in others they'd just switch automatically to English, but we'd be like, you have to speak French with us. And sometimes it would work, but I do think in certain situations where like we didn't even know how to communicate what we wanted to say, when then they were like, can I give you directions in English? We were like, all right, yeah, thank you.
That's so cool.
Yeah. So, like, I think that kind of thing, like, if I see that someone's really struggling and I know that I know how to speak their language, I think at least offering...
I think that's totally
like,
fine.
Like, would be fine, but I definitely, if then they say, no, I want to practice my English, then I'd be like, all right, we can do that.
Then
but,
that's fine. Yeah.
I definitely, I know when we go to France and Germany this summer, I don't want people to switch into English with me.
No.
But if I was struggling so much with my German that I needed help... then I think I'd appreciate it if one of the Germans was like, all right, should I just help you in English? And I, like, if I feel at that point, like,
and
I
that's
can't.
That's when I swoop in and I'm like, no.
Yeah, obviously that's not going to happen, because then in those circumstances I'll be like, Matt.
Or you can always just say langsam a bit.
But I think other than that, like, I don't think accent necessarily, at least in my cases, like, people, I don't know, I feel like people that I've spoken to, even in America, that speak another language don't tend to switch to English for me just because they hear that I have an American accent. And maybe that's just the situations I've been in. But if I persist with, like, even, yeah, even if I've had people, like, if I say something in the language and then they try and respond in English, I just respond back in the language, and usually eventually they just switch back too because they're like, all right.
Mm-hmm. I
found myself having to persist, but I don't think it's necessarily an issue with the accent. I think it's more so a lot of people want to practice their English.
Yes, and this is something where you need to work up some kind of negotiation. Like, when I had my German exchange partner here this year, he knows I love to speak English. He knows I love to speak German. Meanwhile, he is not interested in learning languages at all.
Mm-hmm.
Yet he's on an exchange program. And his English is very good, but he doesn't like to. He'd much rather speak German. It's where he is. It's what he's interested in. His interests just don't align with language learning. And so I said to him, like, you know, is it all right if I can speak German with you sometimes, and like when we're with my family, we can speak English, and then if you're having trouble with a word, we can figure it out in German and English. And, like, that would happen a lot, where he'd be like, was ist das Wort für? And then, like, we would look it up, and we'd both take out our dictionaries on our phones and, like, look up the word and, like, see who could beat each other, beat the other. And so, like, it's fun. You work out these things with friends, and I'm really excited to be in that situation where, like, you've almost got to, like, it's a tug of war between which language do you want to speak in. And, like, you have to persist and say, like, no, I'm learning. Please speak to me in your language. But more so on...
Hey guys, so this is editing Matt and Abigail.
Hello.
We realized that my mic was totally messed up during this bit. As we said, these are brand new mics, so we're kind of getting used to them. So a wire was loose or something, and my mic sounded really weird, so we had to cut it out. So basically what you missed is we were talking about whether we find it important or not. I was saying
accents.
That certain countries that you might view as people that would hate if you had a bad accent, you can still kind of slide around it, and they do mainly care if you can speak the language. Matt was talking about how it's a personal pet peeve of his when people in language classes pronounce words like English words. And then we were talking about, like, what we like to do to work on improving our accents, and I was saying that it depends on whether it's a brand new language or I'm working on improving an old accent.
Yes.
Such as my French accent, which I hate my French accent.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just the result of me not working on it when I was learning the language in school. And so basically what I said, how I fixed that, is I just kind of speak more, listen more, that kind of thing.
And then I was saying how, like, sometimes I'll overcompensate for accents in the beginning, and then it levels out. So in my ad one, if you listen to the videos, my French accent in the beginning, I'm, like, totally overdoing the R, totally overdoing all the sounds. And, but I do that because then it levels out as I get used to what it sounds like. So, yeah.
All right, and now I think we're good to let you continue. Well,
yeah,
hopefully,
we apologize for
this is the second podcast in a row we've had technical difficulties with, so we're sorry about that.
Yeah.
But we're working on it, we promise.
We promise. Thank you, guys.
So I was talking about songs and song lyrics. So you were saying you don't find songs, like, as... you don't find them as useful, or, like, listening as useful in language learning? Is that what you're saying?
No, I mean, I find listening useful, because obviously if you want to have a conversation, it's good to be able to listen. I don't think... listening to songs, I find useful, I guess, but very minimally, because I don't think you can really... if you're listening to the same song very many times, it's a very controlled thing. And also, songs are going to be much slower than speech, even if they're a fast song. So I'd say, like, I use it, but I don't think I would ever try and learn a language entirely off of songs. I
don't think that's possible.
I don't either. But, like, I'd say that I used it a lot when I was getting started with German, but at the same time, I don't credit that to me learning German at all. I credit that to the textbook I was using, and even watching, like, TV shows I find more helpful than listening to music, because that's a real conversation, though. It's between two characters, even if it's slowed down to be, like, a children's conversation. Also, like, I wouldn't rewatch it, like, 8 million times. I'd listen to a song more than once, and if you start hearing things in a song, like, the 50th time, those are things that you never would have heard in a conversation, because you're only going to have that once. So, I don't know. I feel like it's helpful, but I'd never rely on it, and I definitely don't find it as useful, I think, as you find it, because I definitely would prefer to be in situations where they're more like how I would be using a language in my own life. So, like, I'd prefer to listen to, like, a radio show or a TV show or have a conversation with them and listen to them speaking to me, because that's more like what I'm going to be doing when using the language or when having a conversation with someone. Like, a song, I feel like, will not prepare me for that. I do think...
I understand that.
Like, I think a song is good for listening comprehension, but only to a certain degree, and I feel like it can't be credited to much, I feel like.
Okay.
Like, I do enjoy using it as, like, a form
I think I take it to a different level
yeah.
than I think you're intending. I think you're saying that just listening to a song
doesn't do anything. Yeah, but I don't find that reading lyrics helps me either, because I think then that takes away from... Like, I guess where I stand with the whole reading and listening at the same time is, if I'm practicing listening comprehension, then I want to be practicing having to listen to someone and know what's happening. And I feel like reading, at least, maybe it's just that I'm a stronger reader in languages or things, but I find for me, if I'm doing that, I'm going to know what they're saying because I can read it. And... I'm not going to have, like, a text thing come up
for what...
You're
going to know what a speaker is saying because you can read it?
Yeah, like, if I'm listening to a song and I'm reading the lyrics at the same time, chances are I'll be like, oh, that's what they just said, but it's because I can see that that's what they just said, as opposed to, like, hearing it and understanding what they just said, if that makes sense.
I understand what you're saying. I do think that songs at the same time have this, It's a connection that happens in your head, because when you listen to a song just the same way you listen to a conversation, and there are words you don't hear, you don't recognize. There's no way in a conversation to, like, go back to that word and see what it said.
Yeah, exactly.
You then have to remember that pronunciation that the person said and throw it back at them and add on the question, what does that mean? So that's where I think, like, it's the controlled learning of songs comes in handy, but like you said, it's very controlled. That's an aspect of it I don't think I realized.
Yeah, and I think what I'd say is, if you're at the level where you wouldn't know maybe a lot of words, that's when it's helpful to have a teacher or a tutor on italki or a friend that you can speak with, someone who is willing to, like, say something, and then you can go back and be like, that thing you said, like, even if you don't remember the word exactly, like, be like, what... Like, what are you asking me? And, like, maybe they'll even paraphrase it in a different way, because I feel like that's also what life is
more
like.
More realistic.
Is, even if you don't remember and can throw back the pronunciation, I feel like if someone says, like, have an apple, and you don't know the word for apple, then you can be like, what did you ask if I want to have? Or, like, like, because if you know enough of the surrounding things, like, you can, by context, ask kind of what
so
things
you think
are.
That- You think that pronunciation is better gained through conversation?
Well, now we'd kind of started talking about listening. but
yes, I'm trying to bring us back, because I think that in order to begin pronunciation...
I'd say the best way, though, to practice pronunciation, this isn't necessarily what I think, because I never got to talking about how I feel like you should start a language when it comes to pronunciation, but I think at least in improving or practicing... pronunciation, I feel like the ideal place to do that is a conversation, because you get the listening from the person right before you, and it's right before you say something, too. Mm-hmm. So I feel like then it, like, rubs off on you, and you kind of say something, and you can kind of alter yourself to sound more like them.
I think you're right, and I think that's a good place to start. My only problem, and this is me personally, is and I do that too. I replicate the way native speakers sound, mm-hmm. In order to improve my pronunciation. And I do this especially with French because I have such a hard time with French. And you know what I do is I overcompensate for my accent, especially in the beginning. And if you watch my Ad 1 videos, you see in like day 0 I put like that really big rolled R and like these really dramatic sounds, and by day 90 it kind of calms down a bit. Mm-hmm. It's a gradual decline from, like, what I think the French accent sounds like to, like, figuring out what it sounds like, and it slows down and becomes more realistic. And, I mean, with German, I think I was lucky because I had teachers that were from Germany in the beginning of my German learning, and so being a student who was very interested...
Yeah, I think that's something that definitely matters as well, and part of why I say conversations are so good is, like, I think my French accent, as well as me not shooting to have it in the beginning, after that was the only time I had a native French speaker in my entire time learning the language.
Gotta use italki.
Well, now I didn't know about italki when I was like a freshman in high school. No, but what I'm saying is then, like, as I grew learning the language, I never had someone who was like, that's the thing, is I feel like my accent got to the point that it was at because I was replicating the way that they spoke and sounding like them, even subconsciously. And they were Americans who had learned French and could speak French well, but, I mean, their accent did not sound like a native speaker. Mm-hmm. And so I think mine sounds like not like a native speaker as well. But I think now as I'm kind of talking to other people, listening to things, then I feel like it's changed a bit, but...
That's interesting. That's very interesting. Yeah, I've been telling the story to a few people this week, and I used to listen to a lot of Crow, the rapper in German. I started listening to him when I was in around 8th or 9th grade. Like, German learners were telling me about him, my teachers, I think, were recommending him. And I turned on a few songs, and I just listened to them on repeat, and it was absolute nonsense. It was mumbo-jumbo that I could not make heads or tails of. When I tell you I couldn't understand a single title or any of the meanings or any of the words in any sentences of any song. Years of learning German go by, and I come back to the same songs, and I have this aha epiphany moment where I realize, oh my gosh, I've actually learned something. These words mean things. Mm-hmm. And like with bands like Tonbandgerät, whose shirt I'm wearing now, with other German bands, I mean, it incredibly impacted my German speaking, and that's why I'm so thankful for music and whatnot, and, like, why I love music so much. And, I mean, even recently with bands in French, like, I mean, I've gotten into Stromae very recently, and bands like Cœur de Pirate, B.B. Bruins, and I enjoy them so much because I like to sing with them, and just, you know, you notice more over time. But when it comes to pronunciation, it's that replication that I think is important. You can't replicate a conversation the same way you can sing to a song.
I think at the same time, though, with songs, there are definitely differences in pronunciation than when you'd speak.
In order to make it fit with the
rhythm and the, like, rhyme scheme, or just whatever it is that they're trying to make it fit with. I mean, even in English, if you listen to your native languages, like, songs, people will pronounce things, like, a little weird, or they'll, like, break up words because it fits better. So, I mean, I don't know. I feel like I'm just kind of more of the mindset that I'd prefer to kind of keep myself in closer to real-life situations.
So, if there's a language that you want to start today, pick a language.
I don't know. Let's look. I don't even have my language books.
Random.
Korean.
If you were going to start learning Korean today, you want to know how to say the basic phrases and just, like, start to have a conversation with somebody very simple, like have a one-sentence exchange with somebody.
Yeah.
How would you go about saying this sentence in the most comprehensive way? and just making the right sounds. How would you go about learning that?
I'd say when you start a language, like, A, if there's a different writing system. Like, when I was learning Bulgarian, I'm going to use that as my example, because that's kind of...
Okay, yeah, one, you can do that.
The one that I've, like, recently learned that has a very different pronunciation from English, and I feel like I did fairly well with the accent. It did slip away from me after I had to take time off from it, but I know in the beginning I was kind of set to be able to pronounce things correctly. I kind of knew what I was doing, and where I started there, like, that did have a different writing system. So I'd say that's, like, the perfect time to learn what sounds you're going to be making. And then just slowly, like, pronouncing words as you learn things, trying to, like, practice things. I know for us, we make video diaries, so that's very helpful to be able to record yourself doing something and then look back and kind of see, like, make I pronounced diaries. That a little strangely. Or, like, I mean, it helps with other things, too. But I'd say, like... The most helpful is learning the sounds, whether it's the alphabet, if you're learning Spanish, like, just learning how each of the letters sounds.
Alphabets can be deceiving, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's different in every situation, but I think you're just going to learn that as it comes. I don't think there's any preparing for every single rule ever all at once. So I'd say just, like, start by learning the sounds you're going to make, and then... I don't know. I think just as you're learning, as long as if you keep it in mind the whole, like, first few weeks you're learning, I think you'll just pick up the accent and be able to go through with it.
I definitely agree. And I think it's tough, because if I want to try to relate to this with a story of mine, a lot of the Spanish books I have didn't come with audio. And so I wanted to use them nonetheless because they're books by brands I like. And so while I'll, you know, attempt to ask people for the audio, if anybody knows the audio, I'll, like, look online, see if anybody has it, if anybody's selling it. And in some cases, audios for books will, like, not be being made anymore. I didn't want to, like... have this resource that is worth nothing in terms of knowledge content to me. So I'll want to get something out of it. And so I will go through, and this is where something like the IPA comes in handy, and where I think learning, like, that tiny bit of linguistics knowledge really plays a big part, because if you can go and you can type in Spanish phonology, Spanish phonetics, and you type in Spanish IPA, any of these, and you just look at the sounds that this language makes, and it is basically just those sounds that you see, and you can hone them, and you can train them, and you can train your mouth, and there are videos online. I believe Ido Sanes, the guy behind Mimic Method, just released, like, teasers for his course on YouTube, and I think he goes into IPA and mouth placement of the tongue and pronunciation and all this, and he's, like, a master of pronunciation. So I think that's out now, which I want to go check out. He does, I think, German, Spanish, Portuguese, and French. So, yeah. So I would learn what I could of the IPA of a language, and then, like I have a Croatian book here. If I was to go into Croatian, I don't have the audio for that book, so I would go into the IPA, study it, make a little chart for myself as to what letters correlate to what sounds and what approximates they have in languages I speak, so yeah. Like English or German. And this is where also... if you are a multilingual learner, a polyglot, having multiple or a few languages behind you helps in terms of making other sounds, because you can piggyback off of your other accents.
I agree.
Yeah,
I think I don't take this approach in many aspects of language learning. I am more so the kind of person that's like, yes, children can learn languages, but also adults can learn languages, so we don't have to mimic everything after being a baby. But
no, I totally agree.
I do think that I kind of take the pronunciation aspect from how children learn languages, in that I just start trying to learn to speak.
Yes.
And, like, eventually I kind of pick it up just based on what's happening. Like, when I was learning Bulgarian, I'd, like, write down words, and then I'd try and pronounce how I thought it would be. And then I'd kind of look it up just to double check, and then I'd, like, repeat it and be like, all right, cool, I got it. And it works for me, because it's the same way children learn to read and speak and things. And I think in that sense, it's very easy to just act as though you're learning this as your first language when it comes to pronunciation.
Yes.
I totally agree. I don't spend that much time focusing solely on pronunciation. I build it in with the rest of my language learning.
I think that's very important to say, because I totally agree. You shouldn't, like, spend days and weeks on solely pronunciation. You need to incorporate it in the rest of your learning, so that way you're actually learning and learning the pronunciation as you learn. Because there's no way to sit down and understand what vowels make what sounds, what consonants make what sounds, before you're even looking at the language, because none of it will make sense. Like, if you were going into German and understand that AU makes an OW sound, you're not going to have any examples. I find, like, it's so important to learn with examples, learn with sentences.
Well, even with that, I don't think I'd spend too long, like, reading over things. Like, and maybe that's coming from me, who said that, like, I don't pay as much attention to accents. I do really want to have accents that sound realistic mm-hmm. in all of my languages. Like, that is a big goal for me, because... But it's solely because I think it would be cool to be able to speak a language really well and in the accent and have people be like, what, you mean you're not from this country? Like, you speak it like a native. Like, that just
yeah.
seems cool to me. But if I don't have that accent, it's not the end of the world. I'm very unhappy with my French accent, but at the same time, I'm working on it, so it's fine. And with every other language, like, I'd prefer to study it and be studying pronunciation as I'm studying the language, and if it's not perfect, then it's not perfect. Chances are I don't know the whole language yet either, so there's a lot that's not perfect about it. So I guess where I stand is, like, I some people don't even want to learn languages, they just want to learn accents. And so if you're a person that cares more about learning an accent, maybe you want to learn some of the language as well, but you really just want to learn how to pronounce things the way they do, then do that. Like, we say this every podcast, but, like, language learning is, like, about your own personal preferences and what you want to get out of it as well.
Yeah, exactly.
And for me, just my ideal is always, yes, I'd love to speak the language and sound like a native speaker, but primarily I want to be able to speak a language. So I'm going to work on being able to speak and read and write and listen to a language. And if the accent comes with it, it comes with it. And if it doesn't, something to work on.
Yeah. I totally agree. I mean, for you, I think it's more important to just be able to speak it. I mean, I think I personally put more value on the
pronunciation. I think you put way more value way on more, the pronunciation.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the biggest things.
I pride myself on it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I guess because I feel like, and again, this is for me, like, if I'm not doing the accent well enough, it sounds like it sounds like I don't speak it as well.
I think I used to have that mindset, but I think what came with me learning more languages is that I realized that it's not tied to it at all. And I can speak a language, I could sound perfect in a language, but only know how to say a few words, not know any. I could speak Japanese but use English syntax and be completely wrong, but sound like a Japanese person. Or yes, I could speak,
totally,
like,
right.
Spanish and know every single word. I can speak completely, like, full sentences, complex, but my accent doesn't sound like a Spanish speaker. I'd rather be the person that can speak complex sentences and sound like me, I guess.
Yeah.
And maybe eventually fix my pronunciation, as opposed to, like, not actually speaking the language but sounding good because I want people to think I know the language. I guess maybe I'm just more realistic. Like, also, if people talk to me about my language skills, like, I don't try and stretch anything. Like, I'm like, I know some languages, but really none well at all.
I play it down all the time. But at the same time, I don't view it as playing it down, because I'm like, no, this is what I do. I don't go, like, hi, I'm a language learner. I go, no, I've studied languages. These ones I'm pretty comfortable in. You can try to have a conversation with me in them. These other three, not so much.
If you talk to me, like, more, like, sure, I say that my French is strong on this channel, but I technically, like, tests I've taken, I'm, like, a C2 French, but I don't feel like my French is strong, and it's because I know that I've got a lot of things that I can work on improving, or that I could still learn, like, some of the...
But that's also good that you know that, like, that shows a mastery over it.
Yeah, but I feel like that's one of those things where, like, I don't stretch to have my language sound like I'm... like, my accent to sound like I'm a better learner, because I'd rather be able to say things to people and prove to them that I do know the language, as opposed to, like, being like, look how cool I am with my language, I sound so good,
yeah.
and then have them be like, you you're not saying anything.
You're not saying anything. Like, exactly. No, of course, there's a balance there that you need to be aware of.
There definitely is. And I mean, I don't think there's a bad thing in wanting a good accent. I just don't think I think my priority is language learning as opposed to sounding.
And at the same, and then I'm going to contradict you there, because I think, you know, for me, it's a part of language learning.
I think it's a part of it, but I don't think it's a necessary part of it.
Okay. And that's fine for you to believe that.
Like, I think, though, also, there's a point where...
Oh my gosh, my dog.
You can also decide what's a part of it. Like, I know a lot of people throw around the four cores.
The four cores: reading, writing, speaking, listening.
But I think also, if you want to only speak a language, then you can never learn to read. Personally, I would never
learn
a language without doing all four. But
yeah,
I mean, you could pick to only speak it or only read it if you wanted. I mean, there's lots of people out there that only know how to like read and write ancient Greek and Latin texts because they're doing it to read through them and find information. You're never gonna speak them because they're dead.
Mm-hmm.
But, and I know it's slightly different for languages that are alive and well, but I think accent comes with speaking. I feel like it's not a core, and it's a subdivision of speaking, and it's one that you can choose to embrace, and you can also choose to what degree as well, because I think there's the level of pronunciation, which is, know how this word should sound, try your best, and then there's also, like, you can make every little sound, every little weird, like, kind of intonation that you'd ever make as a native speaker, that kind of deal.
I totally agree. I totally agree. There's definitely different levels of importance you can put on it, and it's important to find out what works for you, what is good for you.
Yeah, and what you want. Like, there are people, I mean, the mimic method exists because people want to be able to sound exactly like the thing, but then also there are people out there that, like, I do focus on my accent. I don't think it's the most important thing, but I do focus on it, like I said. Mm-hmm. But there are people out there that are like, doesn't matter at all, and just don't, and that's fine.
I've got like two funny stories, but very short. When I was in Germany, one of my exchange friends, their mother was from the Netherlands, and so we have a friend from the Netherlands, and I was talking to her about just, like, I guess coming from the Netherlands, and I said Nederlands, something along those lines, like, mm-hmm. Nederlands. And I guess it was the way I pronounced it. She thought, like, I knew any of it. And she was like, O kan du Nederlands? Like, just kind of sounding something like that. And I was like, Nein, ich kann nicht, leider. Es tut mir leid. And then there was a Brazilian exchange student at my school, and, I was being introduced to her, and then they were telling me that she speaks Portuguese, and I was like, Portuguese? And then she wanted to speak to me in Portuguese, and I'm just like, no, I just know the name of the language in these languages, but it's because I enjoy pronunciation. It's like, I enjoy it. It's a joy for me. And this is because I'm so interested in linguistics and the IPA and the way things sound, that, like, it's just a thing I do. And,
Yeah, that's another thing, is, like, I don't know any pronunciation for any language that I don't speak. Like,
no,
because it's something that I learn as I learn the language. So, like, I can't say other languages, like, in, like, how they'd be pronounced.
I could say the name of a language, maybe.
No, but I can't even do that because I just don't even look into it.
Mm-hmm.
I could maybe, if I've heard it enough times, be like, it's this, I think. But, I mean,
yeah.
I think it's just one of those things where I don't ever look into the IPA for things until I need it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, I mean, that's fine. Because, again, there are different things different people want to do with languages. And you focus on reading. And I think...
Well, I love reading, too. I like to speak as well, but I don't find it the only... Like, I'd rather be... Like I said, I'd rather be able to communicate when I want to communicate, mm-hmm. and have a conversation. That sounded weird. Look at that accent. Have a conversation with someone as opposed to sounding like a native speaker. That's the other thing, is I say things weirdly in English sometimes, so I don't expect myself to say anything perfectly in another language.
So I guess when it comes to tips for pronunciation, I would say take your time with it. It is very hard to deconstruct a word and understand what it is when it's an entirely new system you're dealing with. Speaking with languages like French, where you have a lot of letters that are not pronounced, new writing systems where you do not know exactly if it, maybe it works something like French. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's something like German where everything's pronounced and has distinct sounds. Maybe it's a little bit like English where you can't really tell.
And then whichever one you've learned first, it screws everything else up for you. Like, you'd think German where everything is pronounced would be easy. But since I'm used to French, since French was like the thing that I learned first and was like how I learned to learn languages, I don't trust anyone. Like you tell me German pronounces every letter, but I don't.
And you're like, are you sure? Can I trust you?
Every single, especially since English also has a lot that aren't pronounced. So I grew up not, now I don't trust any languages. Okay, so other tips, I guess also with taking it slow, it helps to break down words, I found. Like with German,
yeah.
German has a lot of words that go on forever because it's a lot of words smashed together. And it can be kind of hard to pronounce looking at it all at once if you've never seen the word before. So mm-hmm. there, what I do is I start from the end, and then you just add a little bit on at a time. And that could help.
Does that.
That could help mm-hmm. even if you're not learning a language like that, even if there's just a word that you're like, you get tripped up in one place, it can start to break mm-hmm. down the word and then go to pronouncing the whole word. Or with phrases as well, I've done a few Bulgarian things that I did which had full sentences, and like you said, Pimsleur does, like, it would break it down to chunks of the sentence. So I think doing things like that where you break it down bit by bit and pronounce it a bit at a time and then do the whole thing, it really helps you to be able to get the pronunciation on each word and not get tripped up where there's maybe a combination of two sounds that are hard to do at the same time.
Yeah, I do this in Japanese because word boundaries are much harder to find in a language like that. And so in my notebook, I actually will draw a line between all the word boundaries to separate the words. And I do it in a different color than the text, so that way I know it's not actually part of the writing system. And then I will be able to identify each word and sound it out as it is. I think that works for me at least. I was going to pull out my notebook to find an example. That take too much time.
Don't do that.
No, I won't.
This is like, okay, 1,000 subscribers special. I had to edit out so much of Matt being like, let me just check my Spotify to tell them what Norwegian artists I listen to. He's already named everyone. He goes through and he's like, yeah, the people I already said. And I'm like, all right.
Just check those facts.
Other than that, for pronunciation, like I said, listening to people, having conversations with people,
mm-hmm.
If you really want to get things perfectly, then looking up IPA charts where that shows you where in your mouth it's made, and also if you can find a friend or tutor or someone who will
explain
just sit with you and make sounds with you and have you say the same, like, letter back, and have them be like, just a little bit, like, higher or whatever, and have that you then repeat it, just like have them nitpick, then you can do that.
I totally agree. I have a friend trying to teach me Dutch right now, and we're sending audio messages back and forth to each other. Well, he'll send me a word, and I think he sent me the word like hässlich. No, it can't be that, because that sounds like ugly. No, he sent me this word, and It's a word that means, like, something very cozy, and then there was a word similar in Norwegian, which is koselig, which does sound like cozy in English, and so he sent me this, audio message, and then explained it to me, and then I sent an audio message back where I was attempting my pronunciation a few times, and he was like, that actually was not bad. So even if your apps like HelloTalk let you do this, I mean, there are apps, I don't know how much we've had luck with those. I think those take a lot of dedication. I know there are group chats on the app Telegram.
I keep wanting to try them out some more, because every time we've talked about them, I've been like, I haven't had a great experience, but there's so many people out there that have these great experiences with them that I keep going back, and I still have yet to have a good one, so I'll mm-hmm. keep you posted on that, but I'd say give it a shot, honestly, even though we haven't had the best mm-hmm. experience, because I've heard so many people have really good experiences with apps like this that I think it's worth finding out if you're one of those people that will as well.
I've had great experiences with like fans of, I don't want to say fans of the show, but like viewers who have like messaged us and wanted to talk to each other. Like I've added some people on WhatsApp to speak French with. I've predominantly done it in French, and like sadly I haven't messaged these people in a long time. I'm sorry, I've been so busy. And we've had like great exchanges that like go on for a few days, and like I find that's what's really bad about me is I get forgetful and I forget to respond to messages. And this happens to all my friends, not just language exchanges. Though probably language exchanges, it's more likely because that takes more energy. But I also find them so much fun, like once you get into it and you're actually learning.
I don't know if I have many other tips.
Yeah, I feel like I'm kind of exhausted. I feel like this is a topic that we could come back to again.
Yeah, I think there's definitely more to it. Maybe we'll speak on this individually at some point. Mm-hmm. I at least can't think of any right now. I guess look up videos if you can't make a certain sound. Matt and I watched a lot while we were trying to do Arabic. Still couldn't make all the sounds, but couldn't it did help with a few sound. Of them. It helped with a few, though. French R's.
No.
The German, like, CH. There's lots of videos out there on it. So I'd say go and find videos where people, like, they basically say it, then they kind of tell you, like, tricks for what to do with your mouth. Or, like, tricks to, like, try and say this word in your native language. And then if you adjust slightly, like, look, you're mm-hmm. making that sound. So that kind of thing is really helpful. And usually they'll slow it down and then speed it up, and you can kind of get your bearings with it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's helpful as well.
I totally agree. Did I have one more thing I wanted
reading
to say?
Reading things aloud as well. Sorry,
reading things
aloud
is so helpful. No,
but if
totally
you have,
fine.
Like, a book...
I do this.
Even you can sit... read it to yourself, or maybe even record it on like photo booth or something, and then play it back to yourself to see where you're at. But if you pick up a book, whether it's a textbook or like a novel or something, and just read yourself a bit, and just like you, it can be as slow as you want, as fast as you want, just work on the pronunciation of words.
I totally agree. I think I know apps like Mango Languages let you record yourself and then come back to it and like see if your pronunciation's getting better, and like you can match it up to the native speaker's pronunciation, so you can hear it side by side at the same time. And so I think that's very interesting. But yeah, I feel like we're reaching the end of the podcast here. This is number 13. This is number 13. This is pretty crazy. Like,
we've
also
now found a schedule for ourselves. So today,
episode
12 went up, so we're going to record the podcast on Wednesdays while the previous weeks is going up. So we should be, like, that one was recorded, like, a month before or something, so we should now be a little bit more current with the times.
Yep.
Next time you see me, I will be a year older and have
hopefully
a
cleaner room. Oh, yeah, your
birthday
is tomorrow.
Now everyone's going to be like, happy birthday, but it'll have been a week ago.
So, yeah, we're recording this on the 17th day of... the 12th episode going up. And also I should mention, if you guys want, I finally found out how to get access to this podcast on your phone, but it's going to involve Patreon. So if you guys want access to the podcast on a mobile device or in any podcast listener, podcast viewer, of your preference, head over to our Patreon. You can read up how to do it on there. And before you, if like you don't like what you see, because I know having to pay for stuff is not fun, we are uploadable. All you have to do is go over there onto our Patreon, look at what we're doing, and donate any amount you want. Of course, to have the podcast on mobile, you have to hit a certain amount, but it isn't too much. We kept it on the lower end. So how many videos do we upload a month, Abigail?
We upload 3 videos a week. We've got a video Monday, a video Friday, and then the podcast every Wednesday, which equates to be about 12 to 15 videos a month, depending on how many weeks are in said month.
And Patreon creators can either choose to have payments every creation or monthly, and we decided to keep it monthly. Lucky for you guys, because if we did every creation, that'd be like every 2 days. That wouldn't be worth it. It might be too
every
worth
every creation
it.
Is worth it for things like my personal channel where I upload every 6 months.
No.
So if I charged you by the month, like, you'd be paying for no content.
Exactly.
But for here, we've selected by the month because we actually upload.
We've selected by the month. And so that way you're paying for way more than like what one creation would cost, and you get a whole bunch of other stuff with it. We updated our perks over there if you want to go check that out. And yeah, we have a whole bunch of stuff where this is, we're coming back stronger than ever. And we are very excited, and we hope that you are too.
Yep. And so, I think we had one more thing to talk about.
You have something you want to say?
Do I?
I feel like that was all I wanted to mention. You can always record it and I can edit it back in.
Yeah, I don't think I have anything.
All right. Well, that's fantastic. Good news.
All right.
All right. Thank you guys for listening. This has been episode 13 of the Polyglot Progress Podcast, and we will see you next week. And remember,
practice
makes progress.
Bye, guys.
Sweet. Bye, guys.